Welcome to the Viola-Centric Podcast. We are two curious violists finding inspiration through authentic and challenging conversations in the professional music world. I'm Liz.
And I'm Steph. Let's jump in the deep end. Here we are again.
Episode 8.
We're cranking through. Getting to the end.
Mozart with the bacon.
That's my favorite way to have Mozart.
Definitely.
Bacon makes everything better.
I love that title. It's great. It's my favorite title of an episode so far.
Yeah, it's pretty great. These, you know, it's funny. Like when we first started the podcast, we were like, let's make all of our episodes like Easter egg episode titles, right?
Yes.
You're like, let's make people listen to it to really understand what it means. This was definitely one that you had to like get all the way to the end.
They made you
to
wait.
Figure out what.
Yep.
What the title meant. Yep.
I still have questions about it, but they're good questions.
I mean, I'm on board. Anything with bacon.
Yeah. But this was an entertaining one.
Yes. And there were
guest stars. Wallace Shawn of Clueless fame for anyone of a certain generation.
You mean of Princess Bride fame?
Oh my gosh.
Did we just find
like two worlds colliding? Like there's like the Clueless community and the Princess Bride community.
Okay, you have to let us know, listeners. Did you recognize this actor from Clueless or from Princess Bride, where he gained all of his notoriety?
I only watched Princess Bride. I have a confession to make.
Oh my gosh. Can we still be friends after this?
I don't know. You're going to have to tell me. I was playing a wedding two weekends ago. There was some wedding I had to play where I had to play a theme from Princess Bride. And I had to ask somebody how it went because I have only seen the movie maybe once. And I was really young.
What?
I was probably like 8 or 10 or something. And I just, it wasn't my vibe.
As you wish. R-O-U-S's.
Oh, what are you goodness. Saying right now? What
inconceivable?
Words are you saying right now?
Oh no. All of my references for this episode are going to be completely lost.
Oh, well, you should still do it for the listeners who are in the Princess Bride fandom world.
Okay. You're getting all those. Do you have Clueless references?
I didn't. I really was only going to mention that I recognize him always from Clueless as Mr. Hall, who was the adorably clueless teacher who she insisted on finding love for. She like connected him with another lonely teacher who was always a mess.
Okay.
And his reactions to everything, like there's a scene with Breckenmeyer with him that's hilarious. There's just so many great moments with him in that. And also, I guess if I were to give you Clueless references throughout, I'm not going to do that though, because I can't.
Oh no. I'm completely shook. This is one of those moments where I was like, of course we're going to share this, like recognizing this person from this like cult classic movie. And I'm just, yeah.
I'm laughing. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm laughing so hard. Okay.
This is almost even better.
It's Oh, totally. For anybody listening. I hope some people are like, yes, no, yes.
Yes.
Because it doesn't even cross my mind that he was a Princess Bride. It's so crazy.
Okay. So,
It's because I've never watched the movie really as an adult at all.
Okay.
It's like one of those things. I really like appreciate how much people love it.
Okay.
I have a lot of respect for that. It's not like a hater thing. I just, it's not on my periphery. But okay. Clueless is, as if.
Okay. Yes, I watched Clueless, but it was nowhere near as impactful in my life as this.
It's funny. How many times have you seen Princess Bride?
Oh my God. In the tens of times.
Yes. Yeah.
like 20 to 30 at least.
So I could say the same about Clueless for me.
Okay. Yeah, for Clueless for me is probably about maybe twice.
Yeah. So we're in the same. Okay, this is we've discovered two worlds of women.
Right. But I think I've experienced Clueless through like memes and stuff almost more than
yes, like in the in the pulp culture versus the cult culture.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, maybe that's the difference. Oh my gosh.
All right. So starting off this episode, we see...
Wallace Shawn.
I wrote Vincini because that's his name in The Princess Bride.
I wrote Mr. Hall because that's very close.
Okay, friends.
But really, his name is Winslow.
Okay. Yes, yeah, Winslow. In this scenario. He's doing some kind of regression hypnosis therapy with his therapist. And
it's so...
Have you ever done hypnosis?
No, no. Okay. I would like to.
Never. Really?
I would like to try it sometime. Yeah.
You don't think it's bunk?
No.
I'm asking the wrong person.
I do not. I think that the classic video of somebody holding the TikTok in front of you is definitely bunk.
Which, for the record, is how they do it in this episode.
Yeah, they definitely, well, maybe not the real therapist, but then we'll get there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, there's actual, like, there are actual practices, therapeutic practices for trauma and PTSD. Veterans have undergone hypnosis and stuff like that. So there's something to it, just not the way we look at it.
Okay, I'm gonna hold the skeptical...
Yeah, read first.
...side. Of this discussion.
Is this,
because
is this scene
what
real?
I remember.
No, the scene is not real.
But hypnosis in therapy has like kind of a sordid past.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. There's this book before my time called Michelle Remembers, which is it's a true story. I'm holding up quotes. True story. That's written by this woman and her therapist. And her therapist basically does hypnosis regression therapy, and she has all these recovered memories of being abused by a cult of Satanists in like the 1950s when she was growing up, and it's since been completely debunked.
Right.
But it's just like,
yeah, there's two sides to every coin. In fact, that one, that book, it's important to expose these things, of course, but I have had conversations with people who have rejected memories that family members of theirs have had because of that research that was done, that book that came out, and had said, oh, people make up things all the time. So
I'm not saying that.
Right. But no, I know you're not. But there's two sides to every coin.
Sure.
You know? So I think there's, again, I think it's like you can take things to the extreme. And this is a perfect example of the extreme.
Yeah. I believe Winslow that his parents made him practice too much. Yeah, so he has this recovered memory, and he's like,
he's quite
phantom playing the piano.
Quite hysterical.
Yeah.
He
was clearly traumatized. Yeah,
throwing a total temper tantrum and, you know, not being allowed to play with his friends. And
Right.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. And then we see Rodrigo, who's meeting with Gloria. Rodrigo is clearly been... beaten up.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a wreck. Yeah. He looks rough. He's got two black eyes. He's got a broken nose. Yeah. And he's having second thoughts about booking Winslow, the pianist.
Yep.
And Gloria is attempting to be the voice of reason. Like, listen, no one wants to work with you because you keep changing the program. They think you're insane, and they're right.
Yeah. And he says, I can't help it. I listen to my blood. It tells me what to do.
What is it with this guy in blood? It's all about blood.
It's an interesting thing. I guess it's like, to him, that's what makes you. I don't know. You know, he's a hippie. What can he say? But he did work his charms on Gloria. And he's like, I need you to trust me. And so she gives him permission to... And said something about going down with the ship.
Yep.
She's resigning herself to it.
Yeah. He says, Winslow is a pro. He'll be able to handle it. And I wrote, I bet he does not. So at the end of this interaction, yeah, he's won her over. And then his assistant, Sharon, she comes in with a big old suitcase that was sent by Thomas's wife. And I wrote, uh-oh.
Something's about to happen.
I cannot wait to see what's in this suitcase.
But before we find that out,
the moment we've all been waiting for
is Haley's first lesson.
With Betty!
You're late.
Yes.
Oh, I love.
You're late.
You gotta love the on time is late speech, you know? She's like, no, I'm not. And by the way, sidebar, teaching at home, I don't ever want my students to be
never
early. Never.
Okay, I had the same reaction. I was like, I 100% agree. You need to be early to things. I am on that boat. I am that person. However, I do not want any students showing up at my house a minute before their lesson time.
Yeah, ew. It makes me so mad. I'm like, please don't be early. It does.
I had 5 minutes left of my, I don't know, finishing my coffee, whatever it was.
What is it? It's like it is precious. It's like every minute counts. If it's even 1 minute ahead of time, I'm like, oh, you're.
I hate to be that stingy teacher either, but I'm like, I'm not giving you extra time.
Yeah.
I'm setting my timer for 45 minutes.
Yeah. Well, so I have...
Whenever you walk in the door. Yeah. Beep, beep, beep.
The way my teaching is set up, it's like I teach down in the basement and then I will keep the door closed upstairs until it's that student's time. And then they can let themselves in and they just
And you just emerge? You like make an entrance? You come down the stairs like your prom.
Open the door and I go, oh, hi, everyone.
Oh, hi.
You're here. Great. And I've had some students who are very early, like sometimes 10, 15 minutes, but they'll just sit downstairs and wait for me for 10 to 15 minutes.
No.
That's fine. Yeah, they can warm up.
I think that's something that we need to.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't have a separate space like that, though, so they're knocking on my front door.
Like, oh, God.
And I have to let them in.
You have to let them in. I'd be like, just sit there. Just sit outside. Yeah. So, I don't know. Betty's operating on a different standard, I guess, even if it's at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. Clearly likes to rule by fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love this lesson. She's like... Go ahead and start playing. And then she goes and makes a phone call. By the way, again, it's 6:30 in the morning. Who is she talking to?
Who's she talking to? 100%. Yeah.
And then every once in a while just yells at Haley about something she's doing wrong, which is an impressive multitasking capability, I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I am not wired.
I mean,
like
she
that.
Clearly knows how to teach people. I think she's just hazing her.
Yeah.
I love that she's having her use her old method book.
Yes.
I loved this from 1957, but it was very shaming.
Yeah.
And it was like hazing by Aida, which is what she's having her play. This
right.
theme from Aida.
Right.
Over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's important to bring up the fact that it is shaming. We're not necessarily fans of the shaming, but it was entertaining to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see how it helps Haley over time, her intense 6:30 a.m. sessions with Betty. Did you bring the check too? She's like, You're not coming in this house until you pay me. One day I'll be able to do that too.
You can't come early and you have to bring the check.
Hand me the money before you walk in.
Yes.
Just kidding. Okay, so suitcase time.
Yes, so Gloria and Cynthia open the suitcase. And this is what I'm here for. I was here for seeing what was in the suitcase. I was like, oh my gosh. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. Yeah. Did you notice?
I actually didn't. I want you to tell me what was in the suitcase. Like, I only know that the suitcase existed. And in fact, later on, I called it a mystery suitcase, so I must not have been paying close enough attention.
Oh, okay. So there's a bottle of gin in there. There's some cookies, some Walker's shortbread.
Oh.
You know, very English.
Yes.
There's some tea.
Yes.
Men's clothes.
Yes, very English.
There's a plane ticket.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
And prescription meds.
And his prescription meds, yes.
And of course, a letter.
Right.
Which Gloria reads out loud.
Yep. I wrote down what this is from.
Yes.
Thomas's
Tell
wife.
Us. Yeah.
Cindy,
Thomas's
right?
Thomas's wife.
Cindy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Cindy.
She calls Cynthia a cheap two-bit home-wrecking slut. She calls Gloria a deceitful, power-hungry bee. And basically says they all betrayed the man who they each in their own way care deeply for.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. It was sort of his decision to take off and go to Cuba, which we find out that's where he is.
Yep.
And he's not taking his meds, and he might have a full-blown breakdown, which is serious business.
Yeah. I mean, I was worried for him at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, he doesn't have his meds. He's given up.
Yeah. And we didn't know that he was suffering from something. I don't think we know what he's suffering from until later, but right? Did we know that he had something going on? Okay.
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
Well, he sure does take a lot of prescription medication, though.
Yeah.
But I love this line that she said. She says, Cynthia, maybe you can, with your courtesan ways, you can convince him.
Yep.
Yes.
I wrote that too.
You know, I don't think that's a complete insult. The courtesan ways. That's like pretty...
influential.
Yeah.
It's a type of influence.
So she wants Cynthia to go to Cuba to retrieve Thomas and bring him back from the brink of whatever breakdown he's having.
Yes. And I think that's a good thing. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. She clearly cares about him. Yeah. So
I would take a trip to Cuba too.
Yeah.
Take one.
Plane trip paid for? Sign me up.
Sign me up.
Season 3 is sponsored by the Arkrest. You know, Liz and I are always being asked about our Arkrests, and we're happy to share how much we love them. The freedom of movement has been life-changing for me.
Me too. And I love how using the Arkrest allows my instrument to vibrate fully. And depending on how my body's feeling, I can also change the placement of the bass.
Although Aaron and Tigran started the company in their home workshop, they've come a long way, continuing to innovate by experimenting with harder and softer woods, and even new materials. Like fiberglass.
There are basses for violin, viola, and even for small fractional instruments. And there are foam pads of different thicknesses, so you can find one that fits your body or instrument perfectly.
And the guys over at Arkrest are sharing a special discount code for our listeners. Use the code VIOLACENTRIC for 10% off anything on their site.
Yes, check out their offerings at thearkrest.com. That's thearkrest.com. And don't forget to use the code VIOLACENTRIC.
Being freelance musicians means gigging in lots of different places with very unpredictable lighting situations.
Oh my gosh, yes. How many times have you shown up to a church gig and wondered if you'll actually be able to see the music by showtime?
Many times. Or it's a cocktail hour in a restaurant with ambient mood lighting at best.
We've all been there and have used those alien-looking bendy lights that only light up the top of the page, so that by the bottom of the music, you're sometimes just guessing, or maybe we'll call it being creative. We didn't know it at the time, but the Aria lights could have saved us lots of eye strain and unplanned improvisation.
Yes, and with a recharge battery that lasts 8 hours, you'll never have to carry backup double A's in your case. You'll just charge it up at home and take the Aria light to your gig. The battery will even hold a charge for years between uses, not that you would go that long.
Thank you so much to Aria Lights for their support this season. Please check them out at arialights.com. Located in a historic mansion in Tacoma Park, Maryland, you might get the impression that the team at Potter Violins are as formal as the breathtaking building that they work in. But when you go inside, instead you'll find the most relatable, skilled, and friendly staff.
Yes, the people at Potter's are what really make it a special place. I love visiting because I know that whoever I work with is not going to make me feel like I'm crazy or just being picky. They're kind of like your favorite bartender. They're great listeners who give you what you need without judgment.
Yes, their technicians are not only super talented, creative, and resourceful, they take the time to collaborate with you so that the process of getting your instrument at its best really feels like a partnership.
So if you're in the area, definitely stop by and introduce yourself to Chris, Rob, Kimberly, Derek, Jim, Melissa, and the whole team, or visit potterviolins.com to find what you need online.
It's so fitting then that their shop is in this beautiful old house, because the staff at Potter's really makes it feel like home. So next up.
So we see Lizzie.
Your girl.
My girl. My girl. And I was with her here. I feel her. She's got a some 5-minute Tabata workout going on, which I've been there. I had a Tabata phase. Didn't everyone have a Tabata phase?
Yes. You can make it happen.
Yeah. There's something appealing about being done with your workout in like 5 minutes.
I know. If only.
But how sustainable is that?
Right.
Well, not very, since I'm not doing that stuff anymore. Yes. But there's a package left for Haley from Marlin, who is the Guggenheim descendant mm-hmm. that she met at the party.
Yep.
That she had this instant, like, really nice conversation with.
Lovely time.
Very good connection.
Yeah. They had a lovely time together. Mm-hmm. Seemed they were becoming friends.
Right. Yeah. And so he's taking Haley up on her offer to teach him some oboe.
And sends her a check.
And I was like, okay.
For $1,000. For two lessons.
For two lessons. Yeah. But still, $500.
I mean, that's insane. Lesson? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I would take it.
Even in New York.
Yep. Yep. And Lizzie's like, yeah, you're going to cash that check and you're going to do it. Like,
we're going to cash this right now.
Let's go cash it right now. So to be continued. And then we have this great, great scene.
Yeah.
Which, so I'm sorry if you have all your references ready.
Oh my God. Okay. So Rodrigo is popping pills with his yerba mate in the concert hall on the stage where there just inexplicably is a couch and a whole like living room setup.
We won't question
why.
It. We won't question
Don't
it.
Don't question it. Okay. Yes.
It's, so there's some weird Rodrigo thing.
Yeah. There's a shadowy figure who's like kind of stalking him.
And he keeps turning around and then he's not there.
It's so weird.
So funny.
And then Winslow is there.
Walks right up to him, slaps him.
Slaps him with a glove. Very old school. And this is where I wrote, I cannot stop hearing Vincini from Princess Bride saying inconceivable and like challenging people to a duel, which I think this was a reference from, which was completely lost on you.
Yes,
and you're clueless.
I'm sure so many people are going to hear that and they're going to laugh so hard. And so I'm glad you shared it.
Inconceivable. I do not think that means what you think it means.
Why have you disgraced me so violently?
Yes, he wants to know why he's been rejected. And I hear that too.
What am I going to tell my mother?
Like, your mother's still...
Yeah, I know. Kicking. I had to think about that too. But yeah, it just like the way he says this is so dramatic. And so, yes, everyone feels that way on the inside when they get slighted in this way. Mm-hmm. So Rodrigo being Rodrigo is like, well, I'm sorry, but I only follow my intuition and I follow my heart. And Winslow drops some truth on him, which I thought was very appropriate.
Yes. He's like, you need to find your own truth.
Yeah. It's like, you don't know what your heart wants. And so you keep dragging everybody along with you when you make all these different, drag more people into the vortex of your own confusion because you change your mind every day.
Yeah. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Yep. Was to thine own self be true? Was that a reference from Princess Bride?
No, that's Shakespeare.
Actually, that is a Clueless reference.
I think originally, shall we look this up?
Well, no. I know it's Shakespeare, but it was, there's a scene where Cher is writing a card from him to the teacher.
Oh my God.
And she's quoting Shakespeare in it. And Dion goes, oh my God, that quote's amazing. Where did you get it? And, or did you write that? And Cher goes, no, duh. Like, I totally got it off Cliff's notes. And I believe that was in it. Anyway, he's basically saying, you need to know your own truth more than I do, which is, he's in his own therapy and he's saying this.
Yes.
So. He's going to hypnotize Rodrigo in the old-fashioned way with a stopwatch. With a, what do they call those?
Pocket watch.
The dangly pocket watch. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Rodrigo is completely on board.
Of course. He's on board for anything, really.
Yeah. He'll do anything. Woo-woo.
Yep. He'll try it all.
Yes. So we're left to to find out later what happens there. But then we see that Cynthia has arrived in Cuba.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she speaks Spanish.
Fluently.
Who knew?
So much so that Fluently. She even says Pembridge with a Spanish accent.
Yes. She's clearly multilingual.
Yeah.
I think.
Question. How come she only has the mystery suitcase with all the stuff in
yeah,
it?
Yeah, where's her luggage?
She didn't need her own?
Maybe she slipped hers in there, too.
She doesn't strike me as a low-maintenance packer, though. That seems like...
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like she could be very boho.
Maybe.
Like, just a dress, like a flowy dress.
Just throw it in there.
No bra. She's clearly a no bra chick. She could get away with no bra.
She did just go down there for one day, as it turns out. So, like, she didn't even spend the night. That's like a lame trip to Cuba, really.
But it's a really long day too.
But yeah, so she's in search for Thomas and speaking to that little boy who proposes marriage to her, and
yeah, it's very cute.
Kind of finds out that he's going to be at some fishing village. That's what we know,
right?
Right. Before we leave that scene, setting it up for,
and then
I don't even.
This is
how are we going to talk about this one?
Marlon's very first lesson with Haley.
Yeah.
And it starts off innocent enough. And although there's very flirty, like hot for teacher vibes. Of course, he has purchased the Rolls Royce of oboes.
As she says, her dream axe, which I didn't realize oboe players use the word axe to refer to their instruments.
Oh, I think that anything could be an axe or a horn, like to jazzers.
Yeah.
Anything can be that, right?
Yeah, I thought like blow instruments were horns. Blow instruments. Excuse me.
Wow, this is getting racy.
And stringed instruments were axes.
Really?
Yeah, that was always my impression. Because the guitarists really play axes. And then we kind of borrowed it to try to make ourselves seem cooler. Always my impression.
I've never ever referred to my viola as an axe.
No, it's. I don't know how many oboists call their instruments axes or horns, but they could be horns because they blow into them.
Right.
Anyway, it's her dream axe.
Yes,
and she's giving a history lesson because that's how she starts out. And
he's like looking very long. I didn't get any of this sense when they were having their conversation, even drunk at the party.
Yep.
He was completely respectful and kept that distance. And now that
should know better.
She's putting her lips on things. He's like, can't contain himself.
Before I knew what happens later, I said, he has a crush and he's going to get heartbroken to pay a lot in the meantime.
Yes, and that's what I thought too.
Like, this poor guy, he's going to get rejected.
It's hard to revisit this because as I was writing my notes, I was like, oh, okay. I still had like the best of intentions for this, you know, partnership. I thought this was like she was discovering, he was like reminding her why she loves music and why she's doing all this hard freelancing work. Yep. And now it's all tainted.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, okay, M is not just here for an oboe lesson.
But boy, I'm realizing they're leaving us hanging with a lot of these though, because we don't find out yet what's happening.
Don't find out. Okay.
Now we have to go to what the book was that you referenced earlier about hypnosis. This is what's wrong with
this. Is Michelle remembers. This is Rodrigo remembers.
It was just an insane depiction of what's going on in his head during his hypnosis period.
Yes. Yes.
Oh shoot. Hold on.
That's okay. These things happen.
Why is that happening? Okay.
Oh, that's a good reminder. Let me put mine on Do Not Disturb.
I mean, my computer did that, and I thought I didn't have notifications on my timeout, everybody. Sorry about that. Okay. That's fine.
Yes. So he's having a very, very trippy experience.
Oh, God.
We're hearing Sibelius. We're seeing his ex, Anna Maria.
Haley showed up at 1.2, didn't she?
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
I didn't catch her.
I think she was like part of it, and then he got deeper, and there she was playing left-handed violin.
Yeah.
Again.
So wacky.
I thought we were done with that, but we thought it was performance art.
Yeah, maybe she was really right-handed, but she was playing it left-handed, like just to...
Guess we're going to find out if he gets his way.
Yeah. So he wakes up from this supervised... I'm very loosely stating that. Loosely stating that it was supervised hypnosis session. And he wakes up on his own, which apparently is very dangerous and unexpected to Winslow, who was leading the session.
Why are they snuggling?
I don't know. Yeah. I think Winslow is taking advantage of the situation. He says, you folded inside yourself. That sounds awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little... The whole thing is insane. The whole thing is insane.
Yeah.
Oh, but he wakes up and what does he say?
He says, I don't know. What did he say?
The first thing I was, oh, dear God. He says... He brings up Anna Maria, and then he says,
oh, yeah.
She has to play Sibelius with the orchestra.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
This is a terrible idea.
This is a terrible idea.
Hypnosis did not work on Rodrigo.
But this is why these kind of shows work, why they're so entertaining, is because people make bad choices. It's like reality TV. If everyone was like a well-adjusted person who just talked about their issues like right when they happened,
yep.
All these problems would be solved. But reality TV is successful because people do not know how to manage their situations.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the truth? It was so ridiculous. So I don't know. I guess we're not done with Anna Maria yet.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
We're going to...
I mean, how could we be?
No.
She was so...
Vibrant.
Dramatic. Yeah. So that's the conclusion that he has come to, that is his truth, that is the... That's the conclusion he's come to after his little trip.
Yeah, very interesting experience. And suddenly Winslow's like, okay. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I'll play with you sometime. Like,
I got to mentor you through this experience. That's enough for me.
I got to play therapist day. For somebody.
He clicks his heels and he exits stage right.
Crazy. Yeah.
So we're back at the oboe lesson.
Oh, boy.
Marlon is clearly hot for Haley. She is just completely oblivious.
Yep. She says, you're inventing yourself and I'm here to guide you through the process.
There's so many double entendres. Double reed entendres.
It's so
I think the last thing that she says to him is like, your reed isn't wet enough.
Yes.
I'm like, girl, you've got to know that you're throwing these things out. Not that any of this is your fault at all. At all. You're just innocently teaching a lesson. But you've got to know that talking about the wetness of your reed is...
How does she not pick up on the vibe, too? Like, the vibe is so obvious. Anyway.
I know.
Anyway, then he says he has to go use the bathroom, and he takes the oboe with him, which I'm like, why? Why is the oboe going to the bathroom with you?
We hear gargling noises.
Singing.
We hear the shower turn on.
Singing to himself in the shower. Yeah, the shower's on. She's like, what's happening right now? And Lizzie bursts in.
Yes. She says, are the cops here? Turns out... Marlon is a con artist. He's got multiple passports.
There's no Guggenheim in New York like that
there's
name.
There's no Guggenheim. That seems like that could be very easily Googleable.
Right.
And no one did that.
No.
Haley was just so trusting.
Well, he was at that party and like everybody was saying that's who it was. Like, it's kind of crazy.
He's a con artist.
Yeah, very, very good. And so now they're like, have no idea what to expect when they go back there to find him.
Yeah, so they bust in.
Would you
like
to describe the...
Oh, I love that you're leaving this to me. So they bust into... I guess this is Lizzie's bedroom, right? Uh-huh. He is sprawled out in a very compromised position with an artfully placed oboe and fur blanket that I would be shocked if she owned.
Yes.
So I don't know where that came from. But anyway, he is
completely naked.
On her bed.
It's so humiliating.
I don't think I could wash those sheets enough.
Humiliating.
Yes.
Oh,
so he
yeah.
clearly had the impression that something was going to happen.
Creep.
I wrote, Lizzie saves the day again.
Yeah.
What would Haley do without this?
That's a great girl question. In her life?
She's amazing.
She is amazing. She just cuts right to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
So they basically are like, get out of here, you crazy person. Like, and he walks up and says something like, I learned this thing is insane and no one can play it except for you. And then gives it to her. But here's my thing. Isn't it probably stolen?
Probably.
Like, she can't keep that, right?
How did he pay for this? Okay, so Lizzie found out because she tried to cash the check that he wrote.
Yeah.
Okay, number one, you're not the person that the check is addressed to, so how can you cash the check
anyway?
Maybe
she signed it over to her. We'll go with that.
Maybe she forged her signature, probably. It's much more Lizzie, to be honest. And found out that it was counterfeit.
Right.
So anyway, there was no money exchanged for this lesson. But
lesson
she did get
in air quotes.
Oboe out of it, which is probably stolen.
Yeah.
Or paid for with some kind of illegitimate funds.
Yep. But she's going to keep it. So that's interesting.
But she has that trauma too. So, you know, worth it? Not worth it? No.
So then we go back to Cuba and I just have to say, I want to go to Cuba.
Oh my God. There's a party always in full swing in Cuba.
Thomas is having the time of his life. He's like having such grits. He's playing the bongos.
Yeah. He got his groove back in Cuba.
Yeah. He said to Cynthia that she could have had a brilliant solo career, but she walked away. I was curious about that.
He was pushing her buttons.
Yeah. But maybe we have a backstory there that might be explored. Yeah. But he's now exhibiting signs of mania. And so she's like irritated and frustrated and also concerned. But he's like saying, you know, I detoxed Manhattan out of my system and you got to come. And he seems very free, but clearly, and he finished a piece of music. He's like composed a symphony, it seems, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. He said overture, right? So
yeah, it was some, I didn't catch that.
Beyond that, I don't know what it is, but she seemed very excited. But then she kind of like makes him look in the mirror and she's like, I don't recognize you. And remember, what goes up must come down. And so it's very clear that they're indicating that he has bipolar.
Okay. I overlooked that and I was like, I like Tropical Thomas.
Well, yeah, he's having a great time.
He's finishing work.
Yeah.
He's an artist.
He's having a Schumann productive period, basically.
Okay.
I think. And that's what all those meds are for, is that if he's out of medication and he's bipolar and, you know, anybody who knows someone who's bipolar knows that that's
okay.
Standard procedure. And so I don't know what that's going to, I don't know what's going to happen. She's like, she just says, come home soon. And she leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. But
yeah. We'll see what happens with Thomas. Hopefully he comes back.
I know. Okay. Hopefully he comes back. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Haley, we go back to New York and Haley's disinfecting the golden oboe.
Aggressively trying to disinfect the golden oboe. Yep.
I don't blame her.
Ugh, so gross.
Blech.
I know. I mean, she just shouldn't be keeping it, but that's...
Lizzie says, I don't care how many times you disinfect that, you couldn't pay me to play it.
And she's like, good thing you can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She just really wants it. She really wants the oboe and is going to name her Kimberly.
Aw, that's a good name.
That's my sister's name.
Yeah, that's sweet.
It's a good name. Okay, one more scene with your guy.
Yeah, Vincini.
One more scene with Vincini.
Winslow and Rodrigo have found some organ, and they're playing some Bach.
Yeah, where is that organ?
I don't know where it is, but they're eating sandwiches near it, which is probably against the rules.
Right.
Around an organ.
Yeah. It's a lot of pieces to mess up.
Yeah, they're eating sandwiches, which are named after composers.
Yeah.
And whatever sandwich they're eating is, I don't know what it's called. Did you get that?
Well, okay, so Winslow is eating the Bach, which has bacon, and that's why he likes it. Mm-hmm. And Rodrigo is eating Mozart and said something about, and then, I don't know, I think it's Winslow who said, you know what's really great is Mozart with the bacon. which is how we got the Tully episode. And then Rodrigo goes, that's a Salieri. Extra Easter egg for the nerds.
Yeah.
But Winslow was very generous about his, he was like, oh, we're going to work together again in the future. I just know it. And hopefully we get to see Winslow perform a concerto. And he shakes his hand with a glove on, with a latex glove instead of just his black gloves, which apparently is like a threshold crossing kind of thing for him. It's clearly some kind of OCD because Rodrigo's like, oh, I didn't think you shook people's hands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, don't be silly. And he takes off the black glove and underneath it is a latex glove and he shakes his hand with it, which is cute. So that was a nice end to that scene. And then we got one more scene.
Yeah, it's just Thomas in his hotel, wherever he's staying, cracking open a coconut, you know, as you do.
Yep.
And he drinks the coconut water, but it's not strong enough.
Yeah.
And he
opens up.
He drinks his rum or whatever that clear liquid is that he's drinking.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's not ready to come down.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see what happens. Left that one hanging. But boy, was it beautiful. It was like this beautiful scene. Like he's just standing there. I'm like, that's kind of like paradise.
Yeah. Let's go to Cuba.
Yeah. I would do it.
I drink straight out of a coconut.
This is life goals. Mm-hmm. Man, just.
All right, we're almost there.
Two episodes left. Crazy.
I know. Can you imagine, like, what's the finale going to be like?
Total madness.
Lots of cliffhangers, I bet.
We'll have to stay tuned.
I bet they do it to us. Yes. Stay tuned.
Thank you so much for listening today. And thanks also to our season sponsors, ArcRest, Potter Violins, and Aria Lights.
Another thanks to Alto Clef Gifts, where you can purchase Viola-centric shirts and mugs and a variety of other fun items featuring our beloved Alto Clef.
If you loved today's episode, consider writing us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you want the chance to hang with us and have access to behind-the-scenes audio and video recordings, check out our new Patreon.
Our episodes are edited and produced by Emily McMahon and Liz O'Hara Starr.
The Viola-centric theme music was written and produced by JP Wogeman and is performed by Steph and myself.
Thanks again for listening. Let's talk soon.